Welcome. You're listening to Winning at Life, live financial news talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. You have the opportunity to join the conversation. You can help with the direction of the show tonight. We're going to talk about money, making money, keeping money, about margin. 504-260-0995. That's the number to call if you'd like to participate in the show. It's kind of the old-fashioned way. Most popular way, by the way. You can also download the Winning at Life app. You can email, text us, call us through the app, listen to the podcasts, listen to us on the stream right now as well. Simple download by going to your app store and typing in Winning at Life. The email is info@gregoryricks.com. And welcome to the show.
I was thinking about, you know, your schedule. You were out of town not too long ago. You were out of town just again last week. You're going to be out of town coming up here in a few more weeks. You got a full-time, you're the founder and CEO of a financial firm. You have a radio show that's on 6 days a week. You have other business interests that I'm not just going to air out in front of everybody for no reason. So when I saw an article here, this actually made me think of you, Gregory. It was discussing the modern melees of what we call burnouts. Does that hit a little close to home, Gregory?
Burnout, huh?
Yeah, and see, burnout is something that happens more now in contemporary times. This is a first world problem concerned with a third world problem, or even an America 100 years ago problem. And the contributions to burnout now is because we are so connected, we can't disconnect. And it's so much easier in modern society to get too much and to get overworked, because there is all, if your mind desires it and you don't make yourself slow down, there will always be a stimulus provided for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There is somebody putting out some product that can reach you at your fingertips, that can keep your brain going and never let you truly rest. And how do you deal with it is what I wanted to ask. How does Gregory Ricks not get burned out?
I turn it off. It just kind of sets some rules in place, as well as making sure certain parts of the day, like lunch, turning it off at lunchtime, stepping away, leaving the office for 30, 45 minutes and stopping there and not going to texting or having ideas running through my head. But, you know, otherwise, and I can tell you, I used to work through lunches for a long period of time, and somebody would check in on me. Well, did you have lunch today? It's no. Well, why not? I just worked right through it. Might be 3:30, I would stop and realize, oh, I've not had lunch. And then, you know, even on weekends, not stopping, because it's easy just to keep going, especially running your own business and all the clients, the employees, offices, and then the business relationships. It could not stop. It can just keep going. So one of my things is that, you know, when we finish the show at 1 o'clock, we do the Saturday version, the weekly wrap from 10 to 1, live show on Saturdays. But from 1 o'clock, I've turned it off until Sunday evening. Now, with that said, I'll do some reading and stuff over the weekend, but not some intense number crunching type thing. And I'm always reading in the business, so I really don't go outside of that. And then sometimes it's really good to just take a few days away or break up the time, like just take an evening off. We do that even where we're not going to be preempted any longer. So we've got about a 6-month run where the show's going to go every night. But, you know, here and there, we'll take a break. You need to go on vacation, get away, take an extra day on the weekend. And when you feel that coming on, you need to have that mental stop there, and you have to create it. There's a lot of people that are driven like that, just don't stop. And the worst outcome is getting tired and dialing back too much for a longer period of time can be detrimental to your work or your business.
Now, I know some of the answers here, but I'm more asking on behalf of the guy listening. Describe how your scheduling has evolved just over the last decade, how it's changed.
As far as example of client meetings that you're aware of?
Like, what time do you get to work? What time do you leave the office? What time do you wake up? I never see you doing anything on a Sunday that's work-related. And like I said, unless you're outside, unless you're reading a book or doing a few small things. But I never see you doing anything on a Sunday. How's your scheduling evolved, though? What time did you used to get to the office?
About 8 in the morning.
What time you get there now?
About 9:30.
And I know you're working at home before that.
Well, yeah, I'm working at home. Sometimes I might not get there till 10. But now, when does my day start? It really starts somewhere around 6:30 to 7. It used to start a little earlier, not as much now, but I'm kind of dialed in to what's going on in the business world and start doing some reading, some articles, and catching up, put a little bit of exercise time in as well. And then, you know, I protect my lunch break now, and it's developed into a habit of protecting it versus where somebody else had to look out for me on that, because I just wouldn't stop there. And then we make sure there's time between when I leave the office and the show, that I have a little bit of protected time there, and got to change thinking a little bit into show mode there, but it's also taking a break there. And I think it's probably helps do that transition. And then when 8 o'clock comes, we sign off on the air here. You and I don't spend much time here in the studio recapping or practicing or doing anything. Both our days are kind of done at that point. But I used to do full day appointments Monday through Friday, and I do more business and training on Mondays and more on Friday of about the week that was and what's coming. So I'm not in as many meetings on Friday, so I kind of focus meetings on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and I have more help with meetings than I used to. So I've kind of reduced meetings, but I probably have more going on, but I'm more mentally organized for it, unless I'm needing to take a day.
All right, now I bet the guy listening is a little floored that you used to go in at 8, but now you go in at 9:30, but you're more busy now. So how does that translate? How do you explain that little conundrum to the guy listening?
Well, I can go back to when I was doing appointments all day, Monday through Friday. I can go back to 8 years ago when we were starting the weekly wrap on Saturday, and we were a smaller firm and only a handful of employees. And now there's a dozen of us there and adding on 2 additional offices, and I work less meetings. I did more meetings then. Well, I have other people. There's a dozen of us, but that means some of my time has to be refocused to other areas that are of better use. And when doing that many meetings every day, 5 days a week, is a mental toll as well. And the focus and having to remember and the decision making about people's lives and money is probably more difficult and taxing. And that's kind of like keeping at that pace and doing all the other stuff. And the days probably ran even longer than they do now. That is something you can do for a period of time, but you can't keep doing. And it's part of also having some of the hats taken off that were other parts of that, and things you don't do as well assigned to somebody else. Goes back to Ben Franklin, you know, focusing on the things that you do really well and effective time management.
What are some of your rules for the cell phone?
I don't look at emails throughout the day. I also have somebody else go through my emails.
God, that's so tempting to look through it every 10 minutes too, because you might miss something or there's so much stuff going on.
But one thing that's cool on them, and I have multiple email accounts, but I have help on looking at them. And I have an employee that goes through them in the morning and goes through them in the afternoon. I have alerts like on my phone that I can scroll just real quick to see if something's catching my attention there, but I'm not having to go through and read all them, but I'll take a certain time of day two to three times I might look at them for a short period of time and deal with them. But I don't have time to be checking them every few minutes and such. And that's like kind of the text. It's kind of what, once again, way to scroll and quickly see what's there. I don't have a lot of texting going on. And like for you and I, there's times where we'll text a bit. I think we did some over the weekend while I was flying. Mm-hmm. Kind of, and then sometimes if I'm needing a conversation, I'll dial you up. But I'm not texting with a lot of different people or there. It's kind of more businesslike. We need to get it handled and move on.
On a scale of 1 to 10 right now, how burnt out are you?
0.
Yeah, I'm at maybe a 1. I'm doing all right. All right, if you got a financial situation, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning It Life, live financial talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Glad to be here with you. Start of another great month going forward. Spring is here. I'm excited. 504-260-0995 to join the conversation. You know, Mosquito Joe was out at my house today.
Oh, I love those guys.
I do too. And I know some of the people just get summertime treatment, but you know, I like the mosquitoes and some of those other critters to stay away year round so I can enjoy instead of having that problem just eliminated a few months. So our service is consistent. I'm trying to talk all the neighbors into doing the same thing, because then we can get rid of mosquitoes, not only on my property, but the whole area when I go walking outside the perimeter of my property. But one of the things I've noticed is I just don't have any kind of nuisance bugs around. So it's just an observation, and we can sit out there and have a glass of wine on the swing in the front yard and don't have to worry about getting eaten up.
Yeah, they like to start with the ankles, don't they? But it's also got to be good.
Yeah, that's, you know, most likely exposed part, but it's like, oh.
Well, I've heard from the Mosquito Joe guys that they quite commonly get called to someone's house, not for the humans that live there, but for the pets that live there. If you get ate up with fleas, they have a treatment.
Yeah, we don't have any flea issues, even around the perimeter in our neighborhood. There's, you know, folks are always walking their pets and stuff. And I think there, we had a problem with a raccoon last year, and it was probably, he liked it over here because there was no nuisance bugs. He wasn't getting eaten up by fleas or
nice
mosquitoes. So
right.
We had to get rid of him, so to speak. Mosquito Joe, want to reach him, neworleans.mosquitojoe.com or 504-208-2361. And if you're on the North Shore, they'll help you out as well. I like being mosquito free. I heard they, you know, there's some bad diseases and stuff can make you real sick. Them besides scratches and stuff.
Can I jump into a Social Security issue real quick?
You surely can.
All right. So there's a handful of things that most people don't know about Social Security. And when they find out, they don't like it. One of them, the number one, is that it can be taxed. And for some people, when they find out that it's taxed at 85%, they're floored.
To me, that's hard to think, because I've always known that, but I do see people, what are you talking about, taxed?
Right. It makes sense if it's not taxed. It's just money from the government. Why don't you just reduce my check by whatever amount instead of pay me and then say, no, I'm just withholding this part and it's going to go on your tax return. But that's the mess, because that really messes with people's math. Just like when Bob Breck was telling us, hey, all this money I have in my IRA, it's going to be taxed. That really messes me up. So if you have that problem with the tax eating into the math on what you're taking from your other streams of income, and then you turn over here and Social Security is 85% inclusive on taxes, that really ruins the amount that people thought that they were going to get when they pushed the retirement button. And we need to get the info out so people aren't hit upside the head with this. Start planning around it. If you don't like the taxes, well, there's things you can do. And the more time you have before you actually pull the retirement trigger, the better, so we can put some of these in place. But taxing Social Security benefits has really angered some people when they find out too late.
Well, as far as how much is taxed, well, if you're making between, and this is a tax return as an individual, it's $25,000 to 34,000, you're going to be taxed up to 50%. More than 34,000, you're taxed up to 85% of your benefits. If you're filing a joint return, the first bracket of taxation, which it's zero before 32,000, but 32,000 to 44,000, you may pay tax on up to 50% of your benefits. More than 44,000, 85% of your benefits may be taxable.
So, and is this that where the 44,000, that includes half of what you're getting from Social Security? Is this—
well, there's a computation to figure out. So it takes your adjusted gross income plus half of Social Security to figure what part's inclusive. So there's a little form they have that you can go online and see and test, but equivalency is takes all of your taxable income plus 50% of your Social Security, and you combine that together, and that tells you which threshold you're in, whether you're 0, 50, or 85% inclusive there. And then you go back, and then based on that overall taxable income, you're either going to use 50% of your Social Security or 85% or none of it in the income.
Well, my Social Security statement says I'm going to get about $2,000 a month when I start pulling down Social Security. If Ms. Parker takes the spousal benefit and gets half, that's $3,000 a month. That's $36,000 a year. I'm already $18,000 into that $44,000 threshold just from the Social Security alone. So you go do the backwards math on that. And so I only have to really come out with $26,000 of income from other sources before my Social Security is 85% inclusive.
You probably, you know, really comes down to it. Most people are taxed on their Social Security.
Yeah. And that's what you need to walk away with. Just expect to be taxed on your Social Security. Cause if you're not, then you're having other problems. So we'll deal with that when we get there.
Now, some people are and can live, say, combine between the two of them on just their Social Security and probably not be taxed. But one of the things most people have out there is IRAs, and they may get away with it until age 70 and a half. And that's one of the things we see is all of a sudden required minimum distributions changes it dramatically. In some cases, they're netting less income, because when they have to take out the RMDs, it throws all of their money into a tax bracket.
All right. The next thing that people probably don't know about Social Security, but boy, they sure are ticked when they find out about it, is that you're not really going to get much of a raise. What they do use for your cost of living increase is not even CPI anymore. It's the chained CPI. It runs much slower than the consumer price index does. And so if you're expecting, well, it'll start here, but I'll get raises to keep up with inflation, you're probably going to be disappointed.
Well, you want to know how we factor in inflation and their measure of increasing the Social Security benefits over time?
Oh, I know.
We use zero. We do not factor in inflationary increase, because here's the reality of what happens is you are going to get increases, and it's going to be taken by the increase in your Medicare premium.
So would you say most years people don't see an increase, or maybe
most years they don't see an increase, because the increase goes to the increase of the Medicare premium. So we never factor increases of Social Security. It's misleading.
All right. The next thing is all the rules that are surrounding what happens when you turn on your Social Security before full retirement age. First off, you get a flat out haircut on your benefit from now until perpetuity, till either you die or Jesus comes back. And then if you do continue to work, there's an earnings test and a little bit of a clawback. And some people know about this because they call us and ask about it. But if you don't know that that's going to happen to you until you turn on Social Security, you're going to be pretty upset about that one as well.
Yeah, we have callers into the show, and that phone number is 504-260-0995. But we have surprises, like if I turn on Social Security and keep working, is there any negative effect? You know, they're asking the question, you know, is there a limit, or is there, oh yeah, there's an earnings cap. In 2019, that earnings test number is $17,640. It's up $600 from last year. So for every dollar, for every $2 of earnings in excess of that number, they're going to withhold a dollar in benefits. And if you're making over $46,920, they'll take a dollar back for every three you earn over that amount. So they give you a little break on that upside. Oh, you get that money back later, but in the case if you're making that kind of money, why are you turning it on? You just, and it's going to be taxed. So how, what is your net gain? Not a lot.
You know what? I should have added that. If you turn on Social Security, there you will get a haircut on your benefit. There will be an earnings clawback, and it will be subjected to tax if you're still working and, of course, above the thresholds and whatnot. It's just, man, so many things working against you on that early Social Security. But you're going to do something about it. Are we going to do the Social Security University? We got that in the works?
I probably will have you some dates this week on the show. Today's Monday. So this week I will have a schedule of Social Security events that we're going to do. I haven't defined, but it's basically going to be Social Security workshops where we're going to talk about Social Security rules and how to win with Social Security.
I think that's going to be really popular. All right, we'll tell you about it later this week. Right now, though, if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, stop what you're doing, grab your phone, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning at Life. Live Financial Talk Radio. The information show. Just want to make sure you know what the purpose of this is. This is to give you information. A lot of people sometimes misunderstand information. Maybe, you know, that ball coach that gives out financial information on the side.
That happens.
Yeah. So, and they take it as advice. And it's information, and he might give you his stock tips, what mutual funds and such he does, and he might go by another occupation that he does full time, but kind of think, well, you know, people always ask me stuff because I know stuff about money, but that's not what you do full time. And he's giving you out his take based on his situation, but does he know you, your situation, what your goals and objectives are, your whole financial situation? And what if he errs? You know, and it's a show. People might construe this as advice, and this is information. We'll give guidance, but it's not the same as if you come into the office and get advice from one of our fiduciaries, because we're going to set and get to know you. We've got a 14-page of discovery that we do to make sure we know what we need to give you advice that works for you. So just remember, what's the difference between information and advice? The advice deals with really getting to know you. And sometimes, you know, you can call into the show and have a discussion, but what you might want to do is call into the office to have a personalized discussion.
Byron in the Berg, you're next up on Winning at Life. If you want to be after Byron, 504-260-0995. How can we help you, sir?
Yes, sir. How y'all doing? I've got a grandbaby, and she's going to be making a year old, and I plan on buying her at least $1,000 worth of stock in just one company. In other words, I just want to buy the stock and hold it. So by the time she's, and it's not going to be in her name, it's going to, I think I heard you tell me, or I heard it from somebody, to put it into a 520 or something like that, to where I could have control over it pretty much, and build.
Yeah.
And every year, and so by the time she's 25 years old, all these stocks that I think, or y'all would give me opinions on, that would be good, something to invest in for 25 years. My dad bought me some stocks similar to this. And, you know, he bought me, you know, and it's worth more than, you know, it's worth a lot. It's worth pretty good. So I'm trying to set up something like that with her. And I figure by the time she's 18, 23 years old, 25, depending upon how responsible she is, that this stock is going to be diverse. It's going to be in a bunch of different things. And I was thinking like Boeing maybe might be a good stock to buy because it's way low down. But I know the company's going to come back, and she ain't even 1 year old yet. So,
okay, let me help you out there a little bit. You have to make a good selection. I don't know if AOC gets us to stop using fossil fuels, then we won't be flying jets, so won't be any need to build them. Just a thought out there. But it has to do with your selection of what you're doing. So you kind of mentioned one stock and then kind of mentioned on the back end of your description that it might be in several things. And then you brought up 529 plan. 529 is putting away money pre-tax into a tax-favored account for the purpose of using it for secondary education. And that money has to be used for secondary education. You would be custodian of the account if you set it up for that child. Sounds like you're talking more about maybe a Uniform Gift to Minors Act where you control the money, you are custodian until they reach age of majority. Then they could take and do anything they want to with that money at that point. And you could, well, go buy an individual stock. It's really taking a long-term view and trying to buy the right thing going in that direction. You might want to think about maybe using an index fund to something that way maybe gives them diversification, and you kind of look at historicals, you know, over time, those do well also. So you need to make sure you set it up in the right type of fund, whether it's a 529 or Uniform Gift to Minors Act. And then, you know, I would kind of preach for wrong word. I would suggest indexing and give some diversification to that as well. And taking a long period of time of 18, 20 years, whatever number you're wanting to go there, should work good. No promises, no guarantees, but that's what you would look for, a good outcome.
What do you think, Byron?
Actually, it was a 520 that I was listening to. That actually, it would be, are you familiar with that? I'm not sure what show I heard it on, but it's actually like it's, I'm not exactly sure now. I'm trying to think of what.
It's going to be a 529 plan.
520. I'm talking about the education because I don't know if she's going to go to school.
Well.
If at the age of 25 or whatever, and like my daughter did, I sent it. She's a RN now. She didn't make it 2 weeks. I mean, her husband does good, and they doing great. And the money that I spent on the education it's worth a lot. I'm not saying that it wasn't worth nothing, but because she's a very intelligent person. But what I'm saying is I'd rather not put it into education to where if you get taxed or hard on it if you don't use it for education. And I thought that the 520 was a little bit different, that where I can control it.
Yeah, I'm not aware of a 520 plan, but I'm aware of a Uniform Gift to Minors Act account that's dedicated for that child that can be used for education but not required to do so. That's for them to make use of, and they can do so once they're age of majority. If they're aware of the count and they turn age 18 and reach out to the firm, they can take control of those assets. 529 plan, you know, is used for education. You can change beneficiaries. However, if you decide to use the money for something other than qualified expenses, you'll have to pay income taxes plus a 10% penalty on earnings. That's how 529 works. Offhand, I'd have to do research, but I just pulled up a search on 520 plans. I don't see any.
I didn't find one. In fact, it redirected me to a 529 plan.
Yeah.
All right. All good stuff, Byron, though. Good job taking care of the granddaughter. Congrats. She's not even 1 year old yet. Congrats, Byron, and thanks for thinking of us and your financial situation. I think I know what's going on there online, too, there, Gregory. See how Angie is screening the person online, too? We just had a minor family emergency over here. You saw me messing with my phone.
Everything okay?
Well, no. It might not be okay with my sister. I think she may have just had her financial information compromised. She got an alert from her bank, so we'll get the details and sort it out in just a minute. I mean, we're about to take a break here. Yeah, but it's a funny situation because I get the text right now. My own sister has a financial question, and she doesn't call the show. She just happens to text me. And I tell her, I can't talk to you right now. If you want to talk, then you're going to have to call the show. So is she ready to go? Yeah, that's her. All right, go ahead and pull her up, Angie. Hey, y'all, meet my sister, Heather. She still lives out in Tyler, Texas. Technically Bullard, if you want to be a jerk about it. But how did you find out that your number was compromised? You got a call from your bank?
Yeah, it was just a phone call coming in from an unidentified number. And so I just figured it was a telemarketer, so I didn't answer it. And it rang again, and my daughter was like, just answer it, Mom, just answer it. So I did, and the lady was like, this is so-and-so from the fraud department at Chase Bank. Did you just go into a branch and try to withdraw money out of your account? And I was like, no. And so she said, well, somebody just went in with your social security number and a paper ID and tried to take out money out of your account.
Someone came into a bank branch, and it was actually your bank, right?
It was my bank, but a different location. It was in Plano, where we're in Tyler.
Hey, that counts. And they had a paper ID?
Mm-hmm.
With your social
security. And my social security number.
And they tried to make a withdrawal, but since they didn't have the account number, no dice.
So define a paper ID.
I don't know. The lady from the fraud department was talking to the banker that had dealt with this woman, and she just said that he became suspicious because she had a paper ID and she didn't know the account number. So if she had my account number, she might have been able to get the money out. But luckily, she didn't have that. So they said none of my accounts were compromised, but my social security number is compromised because she has that.
So you hadn't had any alerts on any credit cards?
Not yet.
She
but
had your
I did
social
have
security
my,
number, though. Okay.
She did. I did a couple months ago. Somebody got my social my debit card number. So I don't know if it's the same person or if it just happens to be a coincidence. But I've already changed my debit card from that. That would happened about 2 months ago.
Yeah, the thing I might would maybe set up something with one of the credit bureaus for monitoring to send an alert to you if your social was hit through them trying to set up an account or something, though. So they have your social security. Did they have your social security number or had your bank account number?
No, they had my social security number.
Okay. So that would be, they could try to utilize that to set up an account. Well, they actually figured out where your bank is somehow. They might know your mm-hmm. address, could file for a credit card. It could have actually been something taken. There's a theft somewhere, but it's real particular to your social security number.
We don't have to think that hard on my sister. I know my sister. Hey, you ever shop at Target?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And who got
hit? It could have been one of those major services, and it might have been someplace else just that hasn't even reported that a theft has happened yet at this time. You know, that dark web, they call it there. So that's one of the things, is to put a fraud alert on your credit reports, meaning they would ask, if somebody was applying, they're going to ask additional questions that only you should know the answer to, so it would prevent credit from being issued. Or if they walk into a store wanting to buy a mattress, and let me sign up for credit right now and walk out with a mattress, but they're going to have to speak with somebody on a phone to verify. And your bank should already have created an alert, and you could double check with them that if that's where your debit card and such is, if there's a weird transaction that's out the norm, that they should be reaching out to you.
Okay. Did you do anything with the social security company? Or business, whatever that
is. Well, that's the federal government, you know, the social security number. They're not going to change it on your or create any alert, but the things that connect to your social security, you need to make them aware. And one of the most important is the credit monitoring services. One of those credit bureaus, you could go in, set up an account, and let them all know that you've had a hit on your social security. And if somebody's going to use your social security number, they're trying to get to your money, either through your credit or get to your account where cash is. And if all your banking's at that bank, they should be on the lookout. And your credit card companies, you could alert them that somebody's made a hit on your banking. And if people are trying to buy something or create a credit account, you want to be alerted as well. And being somebody has your, I don't know your age, Heather, but have you been to socialsecurity.gov and set up your Social Security account with them?
No, I don't think I have. I went to the Experian page today and did a some kind of a fraud alert. There were two different things that you could do. One that wouldn't let you use it unless you listed it. Does any of that stuff lower your credit rating, your credit score?
No, no worries there, but I had to do that a few years back, and there was a few years I left it on that whenever I wanted to get credit somewhere, they would say, well, you've got to speak to our credit department. They have some questions. Yep, I was expecting that. And that's a good thing, meaning they're not letting anybody through. And then after a few years, I had them turn that off. That's not going to hurt your credit or anything. The problem is letting somebody set up an account and make a mess of it is really hard to unwind. So I would rather be proactive. Yeah, it's a little bit of headache, but you're not having to unwind bad things that are happening. And go to socialsecurity.gov and go ahead and register for your online Social Security account so you're the one doing it and not somebody else.
Yeah, if they have all your info, we've heard of people stealing your account at ssa.gov for nefarious purposes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's good, helpful information. If you wanted to take it to another level, report it to your local police department. At least it'll be reported in case something bad happens. And you can say, go get these people.
Is this something where maybe she could keep an eye on her credit score? And if she sees a big drop, maybe something happened.
Oh yeah. And you doing that with them, you can have that service to where you're alerted when your credit score changes, because somebody all of a sudden, let's just say all of a sudden, three credit cards were issued, or somebody set up an account and made purchases. Those things affect your credit score. So if you're seeing it change and you've not done anything different for a while, at least you can check, did it go up or go down? The going down would probably mean somebody's hit your credit card for some reports and stuff, or your bureau for some reports, or could have hit a credit card. All good. Good information. Good questions.
Anything else we can do for you?
Thank you very much. That's it. Thank you very much for your help and information.
Awesome.
All right. Tell Brian I said hi.
I will.
All right. Call back anytime. That's my sister, y'all. Y'all just met my sister from Texas. All right. If you want to be next, you better hurry. 504-260-0995. Now, you've been through this, but you've also seen clients who've had similar issues too. So this is something I've never even walked in.
Yeah, and I've known people that have had number of things happen and accounts set up, and it can be a problem to unwind because you're having to go clean up and prove that wasn't you there. Mm-hmm. So it can get ugly to unwind that. So I would rather be proactive if you get any worry. Look, I just had a message I was looking at that came across my phone yesterday when I did a charge on Amex at the hotel we were checking out from yesterday, and there was a charge and we're asking if it was me. And I had multiple charges there, and I did a little shopping while I was there, but it was $77 and change. And yeah, that was me.
I like seeing how the banks are jumping on this though, because they have a financial incentive and really a customer service incentive to really cut these things off as fast as they possibly can. And they're getting better at it.
Well, I get that a lot, that we're getting those charges, and you get charges, and if you're off somewhere different, what they're doing is alerting on a routine change or repeated hits on a credit card. And this is good stuff, and traveling, sometimes it's a pain, but you know what? That's why we have smartphones, and all of a sudden we're getting a text from the credit card company or email regarding it. They're on the alert if that's you. And sometimes I'll get an alert if my wife Stacy has charged something, and I'm getting alert asking, was that me? And I'll text her or call her. I said, hey, did you just buy something there? She says, yeah, I did. I said, okay, just checking. I got an alert. I'm gonna let them know it was us.
Well, I have another research project probably for both of us, but I'll end up doing most of the Googling here. The heck's a paper ID in 2019 look like?
That's why I asked Heather that. Is and she didn't know, but what's a paper ID?
I remember when I got my first
copy of your driver's license.
Oh, that's
a piece of paper. That's what only thing I could imagine. A paper ID. It's a copy of. Well,
that makes sense.
We would rather see the real thing.
But you could go into a bank branch and say, my purse just got stolen. It's got my debit card. It's got my ID. Luckily, I have this copy of my ID, a paper form of my ID. And And I know my social security number, but I just don't have my account number.
Yeah, paper ID is just, I would imagine that was probably a copy of her driver's license, which wonders how that was obtained as well. But otherwise, what'd they do? Type out the name, address, well, here's my ID. Or did they put that on something and put their own picture with,
an ID,
there was something they were trying to do and it just will not fly.
Tell them about the book.
Hey, I've got a book I'd like to share with you, if you know, about the new tax rules, this limited window, this discount taxes that we have. How would you like to shift money to create tax-free income to the future? Let's start a conversation about tax-free income and let's have it together. Call the office, 504-832-9200, info@gregoryritz.com, and tell them you want the book about the building tax-free income.
You're home away from the show, winningitlife.com and the Winning It Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning It Life with Gregory Ritz.